This Friday, February 14th, it's otherwise known as tomorrow, by the way, the Albany Symphony Orchestra will present a romantic evening for classical music lovers at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York. The program will feature Dame Ethel Smith. Is it Smith or Smythe?
I think Smythe.
It's Smythe's Concerto for Violin, Horn, and Orchestra. And selections from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet. Grammy-winning conductor Joanne Folletta will lead the orchestra as guest conductor. It is a great pleasure to welcome her back to the roundtable. How are you?
Good, Joe. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to see you again. Wonderful to have you back. Thank you so much. You are, I should mention, you are the music director of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra and the Virginia Symphony Orchestra. And you are a principal guest conductor. You're all over the place. So what brings you back regularly to Albany?
I love the orchestra. You know, I'm such a fan of what they do here, how they approach their music making, which is with passion and involvement and excellence, and the fact that their programs are making a change in the symphony world. It's not just business as usual, which is often the case with orchestras. In Albany, they're doing very exciting things, and that shows in how they approach music.
What does it say for you when you look at the landscape of orchestras, and not even orchestras of this size, but of orchestras in general, that is it, where are we in where is the Albany Symphony in sort of the great scheme of things?
Well, I think it's actually unique in that it tackles such a repertoire, new American pieces, living composers, and also the classics as well. It puts together new music festivals and goes on celebrations of the Erie Canal. I mean, who does things like that? It's like an inspiring orchestra to me. I'm always reading your programs and listening to what you do because I find that fresh approach to your community and music making really something to emulate.
When you come aboard on something, how much say do you have in the program?
Well, David and I talk, and we come up with something that feels mutually good. And since this is, of course, Valentine's Day, we had to have some love music on it with the Prokofiev Romeo and Juliet, and also with Roussel, Bacchus, and Ariadne.
So let us talk about, let's talk about Prokofiev first, because I guess that's the easiest one to tackle.
Yeah.
But what is so stirring so beautiful about that makes it perfect for
It's because Prokofiev actually loved that play. He loved that play, and he particularly loved the character of Juliet. And he felt such empathy for the young people that you can feel that. I mean, it's like he's living this himself when he wrote this. And he has these suites that we can play as concert pieces that actually tell the whole story, from the arrogance of the two warring families, the Capulets and Montagues, to the last scene in the tomb when both of their children are dead. I mean, take you through that and all of the love music in between. It's fabulous. It's a fabulous story, of course, and a fabulous music.
Do you feel that you have a different, the sound that we hear, is that, how much of that is the orchestra sound and how much of that comes from you, the conductor?
You know, I think a lot of it comes from the conductor. Of course, they're playing the music, but they are so flexible that depending on the way the conductor moves their body, their facial expression, the way they use the baton or not, creates a different sound. The musicians respond differently. I mean, they're creating the sound, but they're responding to what the conductor is doing.
And I'm not making this a competition, but if it would sound different if David Alan Miller, the maestro of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, if he were conducting it.
That's right. And when
it.
He comes to Buffalo, it'll sound different there because, again, they're responding to how he is feeling the music through his gestures and through his face and through his whole body language.
That seems like a lot of pressure for you.
You know, I don't think about it, and I'm sure that David doesn't think about it, but I do know that the most important thing for me about music is sound. I mean, it's the sound and the kind of beauty of sound and the reflection of what's happening in the music in the sound. So I'm very conscious of that. So I love the way they respond here. They're also very flexible in this wonderful orchestra.
That flexibility is necessary now, isn't it?
For orchestras? It's very necessary, but it's particularly if you're making such, you know, you're doing such laudatory things in the business where you're you're giving the first performance of a piece that's going to become incredibly right. important. You're recording something for posterity, and it's the first time everyone played it. I mean, those are amazing. You have to be flexible. You have to be so aware and alert, and they really are.
Having talked to many conductors over the years, and I've gotten different answers to this question, but I'm curious of how you think about it. Is there a point when you work with the orchestra and you go in and you do it and you say, oh, okay, everything's going to be fine? Or do you always feel that pressure even when the actual performance is going on?
I think you always feel the pressure because, you know, by the time of the performance, you know, you have a responsibility to the orchestra to sort of create that landscape where they can be absolutely great. You know they're going to be great, but they have to have that situation. You have to create this experience so that they can be who they are as musicians. So yes, I think that we're all a little bit on edge before performance, and that's probably very good.
What do you think is your hallmark as a conductor?
I think maybe that sense of flexibility, because I like for orchestras to be themselves. I don't want the Albany Symphony to sound like the Buffalo Philharmonic. I want it to be their concert. So I'm constantly listening to them, adjusting for how they want to play, or adjusting for the sound of a principal oboe or a cello section, how they play together. That, to me, is very important, so that this kind of music that's always flexible, always changing, always, kind of elusive, is theirs. And that's what making live music is about. It's not like recreating something you heard on a CD.
Right. We talked about Romeo and Juliet. Let's talk about the other pieces on the program.
Well, Bacchus and Ariane by Roussel, not as well known as Prokofiev, but Roussel was a great French composer, wrote this in the 1930s. It's the love story of Bacchus, who just falls totally head over heels in love with Ariane, frightens off all of her friends so he can have her to himself, and she falls in love with him. And this all takes place in ancient Greek mythology on the island of Naxos in spectacular music. It's a little bit like Ravel, Daphnis, and Chloe.
Mm. And finally.
And in the middle, this is a tribute to the amazing, one of the amazing themes of the Albany Symphony, and that is celebrating 100 years of the right to vote for women. A composer people will not know and they'll fall in love with, Ethel Smyth. Ethel Smyth wrote this at the beginning of the 20th century. Not only a great, great composer who should be much better known, but she also was a leading suffragist in England, a fierce suffragist. In fact, she spent several months in prison for her antics of protesting the people who didn't want to give women the right to vote. So she's a force that's admirable in so many ways, but I think people will be surprised by the beauty, the strength, the structure, the sheer wonderful concerto that she's written for an unusual combination, violin and horn.
That is an unusual combination.
I don't know of another piece that's a double concerto for violin and horn. This might be the singular one ever written, probably for two friends of hers or two musicians she admired. But
it seems to make sense, too.
It works beautifully. And what David and I decided, we wanted to highlight the friendship between the Albany Symphony and the Buffalo Philharmonic by using one soloist from each one. So Jill Levy is going to be the superstar violinist, and our principal horn in Buffalo, Jacek Muzyk, is playing the horn part. So it's a kind of nice way of bringing the two orchestras together.
That's terrific. When you mentioned the of a work like that and a composer that is not better known, this is probably an impossible question to answer, but how that happens, of how things get buried in time.
Well, with women, it was probably a political thing that people felt that whatever women did was okay in the home. I mean, they could play piano or write little pieces. But when it got to the concert stage, and it certainly did with Ethel Smyth, I mean, she wrote an enormous opera called The Wreckers, which is now hailed as the greatest opera between Purcell and Britten. But she couldn't get much traction because it was not considered ladylike to be a composer. That was not what women did. So it was a tough time.
Did you ever feel those pressures?
Yes, I think that luckily I wasn't so aware of that when I was starting to study conducting, but I became aware that it was unusual for women to be on the podium.
It still is.
It still is. It's changing, thankfully, at last. I think in the last 5 years we've seen a lot of progress, even 10 years, but It wasn't easily accepted.
And you say that through, I assume, students. But when you think of major orchestras, right, it's rare.
It's very rare. It's very rare. I was lucky that I was able to study, and that made all the difference. But I still think there might be some places, some skepticism. Hopefully that's going away. And hopefully we won't refer to people as women conductors anymore.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the hope always, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
It's a beautiful, beautiful performance, and you'll be at Proctor's, which is a gorgeous venue.
It's gorgeous.
Of course,
it's
and
gorgeous.
Perfect for this. And then what's next for you?
Well, I go back to Buffalo for a performance, and then a lot of guest conducting this year, but a lot of music and a very, very happy life.
Life on the road.
That's right.
Yep, that's all right.
That's okay, because the music is at the end of it.
Excellent. Joanne Folletta will guest conduct the Albany Symphony Orchestra on Friday, February 14th. That's tomorrow night at Proctor's in Schenectady, New York. AlbanySymphony.com for ticket information. AlbanySymphony.com for more information. That link will be posted with this interview at WAMC.org/roundtable. Again, Joanne Folletta will guest conduct the Albany Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at Proctor's in Schenectady, AlbanySymphony.com. Joanne Folletta, what a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to see you again. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.